Culture Podcast with Alaska, Kermit Castro, and Zimarocco.
Yo, yo, yo.
Yo.
All our call our cultists. We all call our culture.
Yes.
Curly Castro here with Zimarocco. Damn, and I just woke up, so bear with me.
Alaska's on the 10-day disabled list, the IL.
So today,
it's going to be a swift episode. I wanted to get into our wonderful native tongue thought leaders have started a new endeavor. It's called AOI Radio.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to chat about it really quick because it's pretty interesting. They bring on former collaborators. It's a radio show. It's on Apple Radio,
yeah.
On Apple Music. And it's Paz and Maceo. And they usually have people on there with them. So far they've had like Queen Latifah and Prince Paul and Common and Questlove.
Oh, I didn't see that one yet.
Yeah, so I watched. That's the one that gave me the idea was the Common and Questlove episode because they really anyway, really the main thing I wanted to talk about was like this transference of hip hop from it being like a mystery to it being scholarly, and something like AOI Radio didn't exist back in the day. They went they go over demos, they've been playing like original versions of songs, something you would never hear back in the day.
Yep.
And you know, I just wanted to investigate or you know, ingratiate the podcast in that a little bit today. Yeah, that's the plan.
Fuck yeah. Yeah, I checked the one with Latifah and everyone was abuzz about it. And I didn't even know the Questlove and Common one aired, but it seems like they've done a really dope job, De La, in the last 10, 15 years. It just, they're not in your face all the time, but when they are, it's very official. So to do an Apple Radio show versus, oh, we just have like a podcast. Everyone has podcasts. It's like, no, we have a show on one of the biggest platforms in the world.
Oh, no, they still seem like they maintain some type of quality control with their involvement and things. You're right. They don't really do anything.
No.
Thrown together as opposed to we've seen different Wu-Tang weed strains that has varying degrees of connection to actual Wu-Tang members.
Yes.
We've seen, didn't they do a purple sneaker? Did they do an limited edition sneaker?
Right.
But not like official.
It was like a Diadora. He did a partnership with Diadora, I remember at one point. And then when Purple Tape, he did a bunch of
I feel like there was a sneaker, a shoe.
Yeah,
To go with the Purple Tape so far. It's so like, all right, but our point is like, you know, Raekwon tries sometimes, but
right.
If you delve into Raekwon, you'll see he works for each. He tries a lot of different companies. What we're saying is De La doesn't seem to have that many original business relationships that lead to varying degrees. Like, so just to give them a caveat, there is this model maker, I think it's, what's his name, Scartorio? I remember. He does good work with like Ghostface and Raekwon.
Oh, yeah. Method Man joint.
Yeah, he did that in Red Man. And he has a Biggie piece. We're blanking on like the actual, but this is a model maker guy, and we're just talking about who they do business with. Because then also, didn't they do a crypto?
Yeah,
Ghostface had a crypto or NFT or something. Yeah, like
any scam will do sometimes. You know, it's like slap their name everywhere.
So it's pretty interesting. De La,
again, they've always just
they curate a lot better.
Yeah, they kind of take their time. But when they actually make a move, you're like, oh, that makes a lot of sense, and it's mega official. Like, this is really dope.
Yeah, indeed.
Yeah, I'm looking at who they have planned for guests. Oh, they have this season.
Guest list. Okay.
Yeah, so it's going to be Tyler, very dope. Questlove, sure. Common, Quali, Pharoah, Prince Paul, Rhapsody, and Dave Chappelle. It doesn't have Latifah listed, which is interesting. So maybe she just popped in. Yeah. That's interesting. Yeah, so it's every Tuesdays and Thursdays at 2 p.m. Eastern time. So now I know. So tomorrow I'll be tuning in. I'll set an alarm on the phone. It's fun to, like, you know, look forward to it and catch it live versus like.
So did they have a new episode yesterday?
Yeah, was that the Questlove one you're talking about? The Questlove episode?
I think that was
2 days ago.
Let's go look real quick.
Yeah, it looks like they have clips. I think it was yesterday. They had that joint out.
Oh, the Zane Lowe. Oh, okay. Prince and Soul Clarion.
Oh, and then last week was a 35th anniversary edition of 3 Feet High. Jesus. They talk about airing out the demos and putting them on there too. It's called Demo Listen Segment. For rarities, demos, and hits. That's really cool. Yeah, Paul.
Oh, they got a new episode, Super MCs.
Yes.
Pharoah Monch and who's this? Why can't I read the descriptions? What is my thing looking like? Sorry. Yeah, so this one is Pharoah Monch and somebody else. One okay. I just dropped the other day. I can't.
Nice. Very dope. Yeah, I'm looking forward to this one.
Yeah, so we're trying to encourage folk to check it out. It's 3 episodes up. If you have Apple Music,
you know, you're probably fine on YouTube. There's like little snippets I could see on their YouTube. We are De La Soul,
and it does well. We're bringing this up because it doesn't seem like it stands out a little bit. Like there's a lot of podcasts popping up.
Yep,
and for them to pick now to do like an AOI radio show, it just seems like it's cutting through the noise. It's not just blending in with everything else, for instance. Right. And they showed, and they, I think another draw is they do clips, but it's like video clips. They're sitting in a studio of some sort.
Yes. At Apple. I think they're at the headquarters.
Yeah. And so I don't think that's, you don't get that always in the main feed, but I know that's part of the promo.
Right.
That they put out. Yeah.
Yeah. Their YouTube page too, I'm looking at, they've updated. So they have the full album for 3 Feet High. Then they have a compilation.
Okay, so running into the anniversary. Yeah, the anniversary. Just
right. And then they've compiled the albums, each album into, you know, its own little video category, like Balloon and Stakes is High.
They have this $90, what is it, 3 Feet High, like vinyl extravaganza. I think you get all the singles on vinyl plus the main album. I saw that. The other day, I got to look at it again, but you know, they know I'm all about De La, so the algorithm will always send me those ads. But it's like, it looks, you know, it looks all expansive, it's all bright colors and stuff. And you get every single mm-hmm. on the vinyl. I think it's like 6-7 vinyl altogether. But $90 ain't too bad, but I don't know if that was a super sale or something they were sending me.
Yeah.
Or Fat Beast or something.
Oh, it looks like it's Pharoah and Quali on this week. Right, that's cool. Who it is. So take with that what you will.
Oh, Super MC, so they'll probably talk. Wait, what's Pharoah on? Like Spit Kicker songs or something?
Yeah. Well, Spit Kicker shit.
No, he's what on that? What's that song he's on?
What day?
That's Buster. Yeah. I'm thinking any on
he was on a Ghost Weed skit. He was on the Ghost Weed skit.
Okay, that's what it was. Because he wasn't like on Bionics like with a feature verse
right,
or anything.
Right. But they probably did dozens of shows together.
Oh, of course. No, they're definitely familiar with each other, but I'm just thinking of their recorded material with each other. Like, they got more with Quali than they do with Pharoah.
Right.
They got, like, that Soul Rebels. Rebels. Yeah.
We don't. Hip-hop's for us, hip-hop.
And then isn't there a Quali song with De La on it? I'm pretty
sure. I'm talking about. Yes. That's
his song, right? Soul Rebels.
Eternal. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he might be on Grind Date, but I can't remember.
Yeah, so I'm saying.
Maybe. I know Common's on Grind Date.
Yeah, no, Common's there. Common, you know, Common did whatever happened to the, you know, so he gets.
He's on the business. Yeah, he's on the business. Yeah. And then they're on One Day It'll All Make Sense.
Yeah, live from the amphitheater.
Amphitheater, yeah.
That's my joint. Put that in the mix. Make sure you put that in the mix, please.
That joint's stupid.
That joint's fire. I like pointing that out.
So going back to your initial hypothesis,
yes.
the specialty of this accessibility now would they
because like? I feel like, and it could be our own youth, but back in the day, like hip hop was very mysterious.
I mean, these guys, was, yeah, definitely.
These people would come out of these musical caves with this thing fully formed. We didn't know about who it was. We didn't know who these people are in these little line of notes. Like I saw somebody the other day talking about, I didn't even know who Bob Powell was. You didn't know what he looked like. You know what I'm saying? And so nowadays it's a lot different. Like an artist wakes up and presses and goes live.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like when did Lord Finesse go live and we watching him pour cereal? I'm just, you get what I'm saying? Right. It's different.
Drez goes live every day just in his car.
And Sadat X gives us an update at like 4 a.m. because he works in the medical field. So he does like Sadat X is like an orderly, but he does like sterilizing equipment.
Oh yeah, I follow him too. Yeah.
So he gets in there early. You'll see him in his scrubs, and he starts working on the equipment because before any surgery start that day, he gets there early. So I think there's something. It takes away. They're not superheroes. I know you're talking to Brian about, you know, rappers being superheroes and things of that nature.
Right.
This access makes them less superheroes, but a little bit more mortal. So it's twofold. So it's a little less superheroish, and we can't idolize them, but it lets us know, hey, maybe you can do this if you can acquire this equipment, or you can do this, that, and the third. You can get into this too. So it makes it more attainable. So I think the fandom is a little different. Like the artist being mysterious is not what's drawing the fan in. It's the artist being accessible.
Well, yeah, that's the whole world flipped upside down. And even I just finished this David Byrne book, How Music Works. And he was talking about how it was easier for people to innovate and do new things in the 70s, 80s, because there just wasn't many people. There wasn't as many acts. There wasn't as much equipment. There wasn't as many deals. Like you had the industry work with, okay, just keep making hits, do cover songs. We'll put them out and compile them onto a record. And then once people start going left field and making like their full on albums, he was like, that's why a lot of that music still stands up and gets reissued and resampled and reutilized because people were innovative. But he was like, there was just so much more ground to be covered back then. You know what I mean? It's like a developer finding the state of friggin' Delaware. Nothing's there except farmland. Oh, we're going to put malls here, houses here, highways, you know, and then fast forward 40 years. It's like, okay, everything's been built. How do you do something new when everything's been kind of been covered already? And yeah. I think with De La, it's like they were one of those huge innovators. And now that everyone has, you know, digested the records, pulled from them, you know, pulled them apart sample-wise, clearance-wise, all that shows. Now they're like, okay, we're probably not going to record anymore because Dove sadly has passed. But now we can show you the magic trick. Like, here's how this worked.
Well, surprisingly enough, if you listen, the intros of the songs is like Paz and Mace rapping. So I think Mace raps a little bit, but he just raps a little less than how much Paz raps, but he'll drop in, and I think that moving forward they'll probably do that. They probably have a little bit of Dave vocals in the archive, but it seems like they're gonna move forward with the two of them, and maybe Paz doing like lead MC, and then Maceo popping in with Maceo's been rapping over the years, nothing too spectacular, but some shit was all right, and that's what it looks like they're gonna do moving forward. And then I watched, they did this great performance of I Know. Oh. On I think it was Jimmy Kimmel, and the way they were setting it up, like they had these two pots, and Prince Paul was at one pot and Maceo was at the other pot, and Paz was in the middle talking about, oh, let's try this out. And so the music was starting, if you remember, what I Know, there's all those distinct parts, the guitar, the whistle, the bass line. So he was just putting different ones in, so he was like, hey, let's put this whistle in and go.
Oh shit,
it was pretty dope the way he said that. And then Paz went right into it, and he did Dave's verse too.
Right. Yeah, he did that on whatever show it was after Dave passed. They did that live set
anniversary.
It was maybe Fallon or something. I think it was Fallon.
No, they had like a tribute show for Dave.
They had that one, but they had, then they had, I think they were on Fallon.
Okay.
Yeah, it was like a two-piece. Yeah, they had like the big show where everyone came out, and then they did like a late night performance. It just happened to coincide, and Dave had just passed 2 weeks before.
Unfortunately, I'll say that big show they had, the big tribute for Dave,
right,
seems like that has a little more authenticity than the Hip Hop 50. And I wanted to talk about that a little bit too.
Okay.
Because people are like, you know, revering Dave and giving Dave a lot of their flowers with them getting the catalog and stuff.
Right.
What, this Hip Hop 50, was that a miss for you?
No, I like it. There was some misses, but I mean, I watched a lot of fast forwarding, to be honest. But it was cool to see everyone get three songs at the minimum. You know, it's like Lupe Fiasco gets three songs next to MC Shan, who gets three next to, you know, Salt and Pepper or Ice Cube, and then.
But when I stepped back, I was like, well, you know what though? I will say this. It definitely came across as like 50 years of MCing. The other elements, I don't think were represented that well, which is kind of weird.
DJ sets, which were cool. Yeah. Like,
but it seemed Fresh weird. Didn't seem wancy, like they didn't do more. Just for the, even if they were being cheesy, like bring out Crazy Legs, old as he is. You know what I'm saying? Like, I felt like they should have done more for the other elements. If it's 50 years of hip hop, in total.
They were doing like little clips on, you know, Tagging and shit like that, and DJs. Right. It was more about the performance of rappers on stage that have meant something. Curtis Blow is up there, and then Ghostface and Meth and all them are up there too. So it's like, yeah, I think with the De La one, it's interesting when you think, you know, people that hop on and hop off the De La train.
Yes.
So you have people that were just too young when 3 Feet came out, and they probably came aboard on Stakes or Balloon or something. I'm sure there's younger people that Grindate.
Grindate. I was going to say the Grindate seems like that was a big entry point for some people with De La, which is unfathomable to us, but yeah.
Right. So it's like, I remember, like, I always talk about the issue of Double XL I had years ago with Tyler when he was really new and popping, and he interviewed Nas, and he's like, my favorite album from you is friggin' Streets Disciple.
Yeah, it changes the,
what?
He was changes the timeline.
Yeah, because he's like, I bought it at Best Buy with my own money.
I had 12. A friend that loved Tribe Called Quest because of Once Again. I was like, what? That's not Checked Around. It's Checked Around. Like, in my mind, I remember my wires being crossed. I was like, Once Again is Checked Around Part 2. So how can you, like, that's why you like Tribe, because it Checked Around. But they had no reference point to Checked Around.
So, like, I imagine I bet there's a whole wave of 30 and under De La fans that got pulled in because of Rock Cocaine Flow, because of Doom. And then they went and like, oh, this is interesting. And then because they couldn't hear it on streaming, if they were really down the rabbit hole and they were real collectors and studious, they would dig around or maybe see it at a record store or someone's old collection. They would try to grab it. I think that allure and mystique kind of helped them, even though it killed them with money from streaming for years. But I think it was like, you stand out. Like, yo, it's not available here. You stand out with that, you know what I mean? Versus like, here's everything all the time. So now that they do have it everywhere, you know, it's everywhere. It's like also at the end of the Spider-Man 3. It's also having an Apple
It was a
research show.
They had the cartoon that popped up.
They would pop up on cartoons and shit. It's just really dope. But I think to your point about the mystique at the beginning, it's like now they're, again, 50
like this show shows, like I said, there's a demo section very prominent on the show where they're playing earlier versions of Potholes,
like outtakes, doing it over just over beat break,
different
nothing
beats
else.
And or just a different vocal version on some, and I think that's fascinating to me because we used to never get that peek behind the curtain like that. If a song had three or four, like how we heard about recently how the Usher song
Freak a Leak.
Was the Freak Leak or the Yeah song, right? And it was like interchangeable, and they took it and put the, and then somebody did a mashup and put Usher over the song. Freak-a-leak. And I was like, oh, wow. You know what I'm saying? So sometimes it's good because you know what else? I just did the, what's our Tokyo podcast, brothers?
The one you were just on?
Yeah, I just did.
Secret House?
Secret House, yes.
Just Secret
and,
House.
And, yeah, I lost my train of thought. What are you talking about? What am I on?
You like the outtakes and the specialties and the goodies, take three, demos.
So, I just feel like in the past we didn't get that accessibility.
No.
And I think sometimes it's a little refreshing to see that. Like, I'm also a big fan of that premiere series that he does on YouTube.
What had happened was
premiere. Yeah, I think
you're right. It's called what is he called?
It's the floppy disk joint. He always pulls out the floppy.
He holds up the floppy.
I don't know. Sorry, ladies and gentlemen. We're drawing a blank on actual correct names and stuff. YouTube. But look that up. So like just that little glimpse. Now mind you, some of these things look really good to us with all this time that has passed.
So you what's up? I mean? Yep.
So what's up? Yeah.
Yep.
And so there's a lot of time passed, and like I remember the big aha moment that everybody felt they had when they were doing sample breakdowns and finally broke down some Mobb Deep shit, which has right. been like a mystery for 20, 30 years or whatever.
Right. Right.
So and some of it, I'm not all the way on board with. It's funny because I'll be on Who Sampled a lot because it'll just take me back to the original song. And that's what I'm really looking for. Not necessarily like the aha moments of, oh, word, this is, but sometimes I like that mystery of how did they sample that song? Where they got right. this beat from?
Right.
But I will dabble on Who Sampled because I just want to know source material and then yeah. just more expand my musical knowledge. That's why I'll do it. But it's just interesting to do that.
Yeah, yeah. I think rap is in a place now with age and time to where you could buy all those Coltrane anniversary reissues mm-hmm. or Led Zeppelin or the Beatles or even Nirvana, where they would have all the supplementary specialized, like, okay, here's the outtake from this one that became yes. this song.
Yep.
You know, or here's the at-home recording they did first. I think rap now, and these guys are getting smart, like, okay, there is a market for us to hear. Like, I would spend money on a De La. Like, here it is. Like, all the demos, rarities, outtakes from them. Or, like, look
what, did we talk? We joke about Stone's Throw. How many versions
right.
of Mad Villain have they released?
Right.
At least 40?
Yeah. Plus all the remixes, you know, yeah. plus, like, the one-off songs they did afterwards.
I think yeah. Madlib even remixed the whole thing himself. Didn't he?
Right. I remember, like, the original version was out with that bootleg, and then they went back and redid some stuff, and then Doom changed some of his flows and patterns. But you could even just put that back out, like, you know. Demo one, Mad Villain, as a double disc.
Whatever. Yeah,
like, exactly, we're at that exactly. space. Like, and, yeah. and now,
but it's good to be. What is it? What would you call like apocryphal? The fact right. that we're archiving things.
Yeah, like remember L would do that on. It was like Fandam Plus. There was like the Laserface.
Yeah, that was the Fandam Plus was, but the Fandam Plus was its own disc at some point, right? It was its own disc.
It was like its own
remixes.
Thing, but it, right. It was like remixes and outtakes from Fantastic Damage, like original versions of songs.
Yeah.
And that, but again, that was 20 years ago. So he had enough conscience to be like, all right, let's not just delete every single thing we do because we don't like right. it. We can package this later as like an EP or put it out. I just think it's a dope spot now to be like I've had so many friggin' rock box sets and stuff that would have all the outtakes.
I just think it's
the Beatles have so many of them, man. Oh my God.
It's the pendulum swinging the opposite way of that whole, what we talk about the other day. That's what I did bring up in Tokyo House. It was like, I got 100 songs in a vault.
Right.
Like, you know, like what? What do you have all these songs in?
Like 900 songs.
What are you doing? Like, and it was weird. I get it in terms of like excess songs. Like let's say that Soul by the Pound factory that No Limit had. Maybe
Beats by the Pound, yeah.
Beats by the Pound, excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't understand this whole. What do you? I remember that the big mystery of you don't even know what Dre has in the vault when, especially when the Rakim album was supposedly in the vault. You right. know what I mean? And I was just like, yeah. When I was younger, that's kind of cool because they would talk about it, right. but there was never any reveal. We never got a hey, we're finally opening the vault.
Dre was that like that Compton album, which
yeah.
wasn't any of the Detox stuff that we wanted. You know what I mean?
Like not just what we wanted, but word is that Detox has picked. Detox has been picked from the vault. That's clearly obvious that they picked. They started splashing a lot of the songs that were quote unquote Detox songs. You remember Bishop Lamont was like ear picking all he was giving. So how many times was he giving an interview about Detox stuff and Detox is coming
years.
And he would pop on. He's like, yo, all right, I'm gonna tell y'all the truth. Detox yes. is on its way. And I was like, what is going on with this shit? Like,
and then every single person Dre got excited about, they would be like, oh, I did this song. Like Joel Ortiz, like, oh, I was there. T.I. yeah, is like, I gave it my three best hooks of all time.
Yep, I remember all like, of these everybody. Weird mythology Detox session stories. Kendrick yeah. has some, and I'm just like, you know what?
I'm yeah, not, you know what's funny? On, I'm man. Looking you, back.
Like,
remember the,
you're
so the
doing
Compton
the carrot.
Joint.
It's the carrot to the mule thing. Detox is definitely the carrot to the yeah. mule.
Yo, know? it's been 9 years since the Compton album dropped, and that joint had 16 songs.
Oh, you know, it so probably he has, I want to know when was the first time they started even mentioning this Detox stuff. Oof. I guarantee it was probably like.
But even like
mid 2000s.
Who's even featured on Compton, which again I haven't listened to at all since it first came out. Okay, Kendrick, People in a Moment, Marsha Ambrose, he's done a lot of stuff with yep. her. BJ the Chicago Kid, Anderson .Paak, All right, Kendrick again. Exhibit 18, Cold 187. Shouts to him.
Cold 187.
Cube, Anderson Paak. Some dude named Dem Joints. John Connor. Remember he was signed. Oh, for like a year.
John Connor for a little second. Yeah, I remember him.
He was like the game
because he was part of the pack, and then he separated a bit and got with. So wait, was the Aftermath signing like a troop? Was that a death sentence? Was you not getting good if you roll with him? Were you wasting it?
Yeah.
Damn.
You just weren't coming out. You had to get shredded and rap about selling crack. Then he would put you out. You had to get really ripped. And then you had to rap about drugs.
It's kind of crazy, yo.
Yeah. It is what it is with that. But yeah. So, and back to our thing. So we have a few minutes left. But I think the cool thing about AOI Radio is that they can do these type of things. Like, they can go anywhere they want. They could just live off the catalog and put out supplementary stuff. They could do tours like the same way Tribe did some stuff without Fife and let people fill in or do whatever. Or they can just do like solo. I mean, there's so many ways you can go, but I feel like they're letting us know like, hey, we're not just going to close up shop and just walk away forever. You know, like.
Right. And then we're also not just going to be willy-nilly and give you a whole bunch of posthumous Dave. You know, they're not conducting themselves like that either.
No.
So it's pretty refreshing. You know what I'm saying?
They're really smart. And I'm looking forward to what happens once AOI is done. Because it seems like this was all a multi-year plan was to.
Yes, it definitely seems like part of this plan with the catalog going fully digital.
Right.
And all of the things that's coming from that. They keep reissuing the records. They're doing all the represses of every damn thing they've done.
Yes.
It's been two or three versions.
Merch is crazy.
Balloon has came back out. 3 Feet High has dropped back out.
Yeah.
Stakes is High, I think they've done. I don't think they've getting up to the current like grind dating of Nonis Nobody stuff, but they have done all of that back catalog has all been re-released. So if anybody's missing any of that, you know, you can get yourself a nice little cool fresh vinyl. Yeah. Oh, they got the merch popping. Yeah, they really like popping. Which what to be honest, the last 10 years they didn't have this. It wasn't this type of explosion.
Not like this. Yeah. Not merch, in so many pieces.
And this consistent. They're also dropping like B sides with like full on releases. Woo. There was a couple of B-side songs. If you look at what they've been releasing, they released a couple of songs that were like either B-sides or soundtrack songs or whatever, and getting like full honorable releases on their Bandcamp.
Yeah,
there's one song they just dropped the other day. So it seems like they're very much in the mix. They're dropping like new old songs.
Yeah,
for people like they did. Sheafy MCs is on something official now.
MCs.
You know, that was such a underground staple for us.
Bro, so they got a Bionics mug.
See.
A Bionics mug and then Balloon Mind State tape. I mean, this is they even have like they have AOI Radio's long sleeve tees like that. And a hoodie. And it's them from the
cover. Oh, and then didn't they say they were gonna make good on the third part of that trilogy?
Man, like that's been 20 part years. Three. It's funny. He was always saying, he's like, it's gonna be some DJ shit.
It's gonna be some DJ shit. Yeah, that was always weird. Like that was gonna be like Maceo's joint, whether that be like Terminator X thing or something. I don't know, but
that would be dope if he just did like it's like a producer album where he's picking. It's Paz and someone, Dave and someone, maybe like instrumental.
I think it'll be a lot less rhyming on that one.
That would be dope for them to do like more instrumental. I mean, they're really good fucking producers. You know, like
that's another thing that's been really good revelations when you hear them talk. You hear how much all three of them really produced their stuff. Like you didn't get that glimpse. Everything was all Prince Paul, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Prince Paul did early stuff and then De La started producing himself, but you didn't really hear that. Oh, Paz, I found this sample and I came in and slowed it down and Dave did this to it. And then, you know what I'm saying? Those are really refreshing tales. Like right when we finish the episode, I'm going to listen to the next episode of AOI Radio right now. Sick.
Dude, they got a 3 feet high pink floral basketball.
Oh yeah, that's the joint I wanted. That's new. Hot. Yeah, that joint looked fire, don't it?
They got the air freshener. Yeah, honestly, in my heart, I know it's kind of sacrilegious. Like, 3 feet high is not my favorite. It's like a little too much.
Yeah,
for me. What
is too quirky? Like too much.
It's a lot of stuff. Like a lot. It's so much going on. And then De La Is Dead is like, I really like De La Is Dead. Same thing. I mean, it's a CD record. Like, you really have to skip a lot of skits that you don't want to deal with. But
Indeed.
But the merch, like, they've really set their imagery based on 3 feet high more than anything else.
Well, on this decades, rip, decades, if you look at like all the stuff they're putting out, a lot of it flower power based stuff.
Yeah, the colors. I think just all the colorways. Like, colors. They've really like laid claim to that colorway for the last 30 some years. Like, the hot pink, the hot yellow
mm-hmm.
is really
the
dope.
Fuchsia and shit.
Yeah. It's, and then
the yellow, the yellow.
And then even when they were talking about how Dave like saw and rhymed in colors and shit, like
yeah, tell the people about that, because
he was saying that about how he had like that synesthesia thing where you see music as color. I know John Mayer has that too. So Dave had it that way where he would see and relate to music as, you know, this is purple, this is blue, this is green. And his writing, that's why like his rapping is so great to go back to, because you don't get sick of it, because there's so many pieces to still
uncover. It sounds so brand new
and traverse, right? And it's because so like his
interesting thing with language,
like, yeah, no, and so the way he actually just processed music in his head and then how it came back out was like, you, no one could be like, oh, I'm gonna spit my Dave verse. You can't do it. Like, how would you even do that style? You know what I mean? Whereas everyone could do like, here's my West Side Gun verse. Ha ha ha.
You know, Dave is a word bender. So like,
yeah,
he's gonna come up with interesting ways of ending his lines. And yeah, so because the way he's doing is very unorthodox, how he ends the line, who knows it? He reminds me a little with the Biggie swing styles, internal rhymes, one rhyme to the next, to the next, to the different one to the next, as opposed to Pos was more direct. Yeah. His flows, once he picked the flow, it was pretty direct. But they would, you know, because I remember you talk about a lot, their early stuff, they were really trying things. Really, really out there with the experimental
and
the vocal tip.
Yeah, and then, when we had that, I think we did the episode with Breeze. We went really heavy on De La with like the actual MC technical side.
Yeah.
So if you guys want to hear more De La, go look at that episode. We had Breeze Brewing, him just geeking out about De La catalog, bars, style, like a more technical rapper episode. I would recommend that one if you're haven't gotten your fill.
Yes, sir.
From this one. All right, so we're wrapping up a little bit. I'm not sure when this is going to air, but by the time it does, there's going to be a new remix from Jason Griff featuring Shrapnel from Stack and Chips, Oscar Wilde for Tonight. That's going to be on all DSPs. We also had a Televangel remix, Adult Panic. That's on DSPs as well. And then this should, by the time this airs, a new Sleeping Dog record, Will We Ever Dance Again. That'll be out on $3pistol.com on streaming. We have cassettes and hats and a couple of hoodies, and then vinyl will be much later in the year for those guys. And then me and Chung Wizard are gearing up for Midnight Suns 2 on the 29th. So there you go. So there's a lot of this is a good time of the year. Yeah, March is very busy. And then I don't know if you have any announcements you want to make yet.
No, I mean, Shrapnel album's coming.
Yes.
But as far as the label goes, I think next up on Backwoods is Cavaliers Monster.
Oh, nice.
Record dropping in April, I think.
Sick.
And then we'll move from there. But yeah, we're just, you know, getting all the ducks in order. The album is at the manufacturer.
So that's look at that.
I can tell you. And like I said, I'll let Prem reveal the title. I put out a couple cryptic tweets or whatever. So anybody has a brain, can look those up and you'll see some of the album titles in there somewhere. I was being
if you're a fan mysterious. Of the Zodiac Killer, you can parse through Castro's tweets.
Use the cipher or something.
Do the cipher. And speaking of Prem, we have the Clean Well Lighted Place 10th anniversary wax pre-order still going off, about halfway gone. So if you're a fan of the Debonair Prem Rock and his album, that album is fucking really good. It's held up a lot. I was kind of shocked. And everybody you'd like, and everyone we've ever had on the show was on that record 10 years ago. So that works.
Indeed. That's true.
Yeah, for Alaska,
he has some things on the horizon. I know he's wrapping
up some stuff.
So yeah, I think we can safe to say if anybody liked Alaska's record with Dove from last year, if anybody liked Cargo Cult stuff Alaska's doing, he's on the horizon with a couple of sequels to those endeavors, and I think everybody would be pleasantly surprised. The Dove record, if anybody liked the structural dynamics of flow, it really came
more flows,
yeah, more flows and more structure. So y'all will enjoy that. Way more dynamic.
Yeah. All right, man. And then fuck with us on Patreon. Our Discord is popping off. You'll get access to that, and then you get access to Bandcamp discounts depending on the level of support. How you like that?
There you
go. We'll sign off for Alaska, and we'll talk to you all soon.
Have a good one. Check out AOI Radio and listen to more Call Out Culture. Shablam, shablow.
Blow. Peace.
No peace.